Measure Up Podcast, Episode 14, When People and KPIs Collide. G'day, Stacey Barr here, Performance Measure Specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for the Measure Up podcast. My passion is making it easy and fun for you to meaningfully measure the performance of your organization or business so it can be truly excellent at what it exists to do. In this episode of the Measure Up podcast about when people and KPIs collide, our feature article is Don't Use KPIs in Employee Performance Appraisal. We'll answer Barry's question, isn't organizational performance the combined performance of people? And we'll wrap up with a quick tip for three questions to guide a meaningful performance appraisal. It's a hot topic, this issue of KPIs and performance appraisal, so many people struggle with it. Whenever I write about it, I get very lengthy responses from my readers who defend the value of measuring people. Elliot, who's one of my podcast listeners, even used my own examples of measuring my personal performance, which was back in podcast number 9, in defense of measuring people performance. He wrote to me, "What I mean by employee performance measurement is exactly what you were describing when you described how you measured your performance in filling the sandbags, monitoring your pace when running, or achieving your training program enrollment goals. Getting yourself the French chocolates is exactly the sort of thing I'm thinking about when I talk about performance measurement-driven incentives and recognition. I was not talking about measuring the competences, characteristics, values, skills, or worth of people or teams, only their ongoing level of success at achieving the outcomes they are expected to deliver." It's in Elliot's final words that my point lies. I measure my running performance and sandbag-filling performance and whatever I happen to be measuring at the time to keep me focused and motivated. I don't use these measures to evaluate or judge myself in any way. And even more importantly, no one else uses these measures to evaluate or judge me. These measures have a different relationship to people than the relationship I see organizational performance measures having to people. I've got no problem with people setting up their own measures of personal results to stay focused and motivated. But as soon as someone else uses those measures to hold them accountable for the outcomes they are expected to deliver, as Elliot says, the energy shifts, and as we see over and over, people start feeling threatened by the measures. Very much so, because when we work in teams and organizations, our results are interdependent with the performance of others, with the priorities of our managers, with resource allocation, and the design of the organization's systems and processes. It's not as simple as going for a run or filling sandbags. But when we measure the results of organizational processes, the threat goes away because now we can talk about the reasons why the process isn't performing the way we want it to. Nothing personal, no blame and no feelings of inadequacy or unfairness or embarrassment. We all can shift our attention from working in the business and turn it to working on the business together in collaboration to find ways to improve the whole system. To me, that's so much more powerful and more ennobling. In theory, measuring people's performance can make sense if we could safely assume that people were not defensive, were open to continually improving themselves, could focus on their personal targets without compromising other people's targets or the organization's targets, and in addition, that when others use measures to evaluate us, we perform better than when we use measures for our own focus and motivation. But in practice, these assumptions rarely hold. So I remain unconvinced that measuring people is worth the time and effort given all these downsides. I'll expand on my reasons in this episode's feature article, Don't Use KPIs in Employee Performance Appraisal. You can get the written copy of the podcast's feature article in this episode's corresponding issue of the Measure Up email newsletter. The newsletter gives you additional resources to meaningfully measure what matters, and you can subscribe for free at measureupblog.com. You read the title of this article either with a sigh of relief or with a snort of derision. Our organisational culture has so strongly tied KPIs to individual performance that despite the problems we have with it, few are willing or able to change it. Here, when I say KPI, I mean performance measures that monitor how well people are performing in their roles. In performance appraisals, these KPIs or measures are used by managers to help determine if a staff member is up to scratch, deserving of a reward, financial or non, or in need of being performance managed or fired. The problems with using KPIs or measures in performance appraisals are usually the same for the majority of organisations. It encourages people to fudge the figures so no one gets an accurate or objective view of true performance, compete rather than collaborating with colleagues for fear of being the one to miss a personal target for the greater good, suffer from too little feedback too late to prevent performance problems, focus on doing tasks more productively even if they don't produce meaningful results, and count easy widgets versus measuring meaningful results. You've seen this happen, haven't you? At the root of these problems is human nature, particularly our self-esteem, feeling valued and accepted by others, feeling a part of something bigger than ourselves, wanting to make a real difference in the world. But when we use measures to evaluate and judge each other's performance, we push against these basic human needs. Then there's systems thinking, which correctly states that the whole is more than the sum of the parts. If you total up the performance of all the people, you don't get a value that equals the performance of the organization. People aren't the organization's performance. They create the organization's performance through their decisions and actions, and most importantly, their collaboration. When we measure individuals' performance, we encourage them to focus on themselves, not the whole. The solution is not better measures or better performance appraisals. The whole idea of measuring people, in my humble opinion, is undignifying because it evokes self-preservation in people rather than self-actualization. What's more, it fails to produce great organizational performance because the problems I mentioned before actually erode organizational performance. So what can we do instead? As the self-titled performance measure specialist, you can guess I'm not suggesting that we don't need KPIs or performance measures. It's how we use them in relation to performance appraisal that needs to change. Instead of choosing measures to judge how people have performed come performance appraisal time, help people choose measures of the results they collaborate to produce and use those measures themselves as ongoing and regular feedback in between performance appraisals to adjust and improve how those results are produced. Performance appraisals then become about how the organization can help people self-actualize to help them grow further into who they want to be. You don't need to measure people against each other. You don't need to know who is the best performer or the worst. You don't need to worry about the very few poor performers. You'll give organizational performance the biggest boost if you turn your attention to giving everyone the best opportunities to work together to make a valuable difference. Everything else is subordinate to that. And if I've failed to shift your opinions about using KPIs in performance appraisals, and you feel certain that it's working well in your organization, I implore you to take a closer look. Now, if you want to take action on all this, here are some ideas. Is your performance appraisal system the elephant in the room, taking up a lot of space, doing more damage than good, and is so obvious that it's easy to ignore? Take a closer look and see if you can't find a way for performance measures to be used more meaningfully in managing people's performance as tools to give them the best chance to perform well, not as a means to judge their performance. Now, in this article, I made the statement that the organization's performance is not the sum of people's performance, and this view surprises a lot of people, including Measure Up subscriber Barry, who asks a very appropriate question for this episode's Q&A. A bit surprised with your view that organization and people performance are separate things and that KPIs can only be used to manage organization performance and not individual performance. Organization performance is, after all, the combined performance of people, especially the leaders. Well, rather than start with my thoughts on why I think this is not the case, I reckon we shouldn't overlook the need to explore why so many people believe this is the case. On what basis have so many people come to believe that organization performance is the combined performance of people? Where's the evidence? To say that when people perform really well, then the organization performs better is somewhat true, but to test the logic, all we need to do is ask, have we seen any cases where people performed really well, but the organization didn't perform well? If we can say yes to that, then logically we have to reject the idea that organization performance is the combined performance of people. Firstly, is it reasonable to expect all people in an organization to perform really well all the time? Of course not. Too many factors affect the performance of any one person on any given day. Family issues, health, fatigue, moods, the interactions with colleagues, and a myriad of factors outside their control. Sometimes poor performance is understandable or unavoidable, and sometimes poor performance is unacceptable and avoidable. What percentage of the time in your experience do you find that poor performance is unacceptable and avoidable versus understandable and unavoidable? If we've designed KPIs into performance appraisal systems because we want a way to manage the unacceptable and avoidable poor performance, I wonder if it's a case of using a hammer for a thumbtack. Back to the question at hand, though. Are there any cases where people performed really well but the organization didn't perform well? If this was true, I reckon we'd only ever hear that businesses or organizations failed because the people didn't perform well enough. It wouldn't be because the processes were outdated compared to competitors, or because their product was no longer relevant for their market, or because the amount of waste and inefficiency in its operations surreptitiously grew out of hand. But you never hear this, that the reason for failure was that the people didn't perform well enough. It's almost always because the organization stayed the same in a changing world. It became outdated, irrelevant, or too inefficient to sustain itself. These reasons can't be pinned to people's performance working in the business, but rather to how often people, both managers and staff, worked on the business. And that's the role of organizational performance measures and not the role of people performance measures, to put focus on working on the business through collaboration and continuous improvement. The result is that working in the business is easier and gets better results. Systems thinking is also an argument against the idea that organization performance is the combined performance of people. Systems thinking is the study of interdependencies between and among all the parts that make up complex systems, like organizations. Systems thinking studies the dynamics or patterns that keep turning up from these interdependencies and explores how they impact on the results of these systems, like organizational performance. The most well-known catch cry of the systems thinking movement is probably this: the whole is more than the sum of the parts. That's about synergy. Now, I've only had a little experience in systems thinking when I used to help build simulation models of business systems that we used to experiment with and predict with very impressive accuracy, actually, how changes in the design of business processes would impact the performance outcomes. Now, I know I keep coming back to business processes, and I'm not the only one who believes so strongly that the key to organizational performance is overwhelmingly the continuous improvement of processes and barely at all the management of people performance. Edwards Deming, the father of quality, would say that 80% of the problems are in the processes and 20% are with the people. Followers in his footsteps have revised that ratio to be as much as 99% of problems are in the processes and only 1% with the people. What percentage of your time and resources goes to managing process performance versus people performance? Well, I'll leave it at that for today and let you ponder that. If you do have a question that you'd like me to answer or, well, to share my opinion about in a future podcast, email me at measureup@stacybarr.com. Now, you can probably guess from my ranting opinions that I see a very different way for performance appraisals to be done, a way that makes sure that attention is given to working on the business. So in this episode's quick tip, I hope you don't mind my sharing the three questions that I think should be the focus of performance appraisal meetings between managers and their subordinates with no threat. Let's presuppose that performance appraisals are not the only meetings that managers have with their staff, and that their main purpose is to help help employees do the best job they can in their role. Their main purpose is not to performance manage people out of their roles that they don't seem to be suited for, or out of the organization entirely. So with this in mind, and while of course they wouldn't be the only discussion points in a performance appraisal meeting, I reckon these three questions should be the main focus. Question one, how have you been going with monitoring and pursuing your work goals? Question two, what are the biggest two or three obstacles that you feel are holding you back from achieving your work and or personal goals in this organization? And question three, what can we do or try to overcome these obstacles? Now, I'm very interested in what you think, so feel welcome to share your views about this very hairy topic by visiting measureupblog.com and look for podcast episode 14. There'll be a place for you to add your comments there. So thanks again for joining me for yet another episode of the Measure Up podcast. You can download them. You can also read the feature articles at measureupblog.com. You can subscribe to this podcast also at iTunes. Just search for Measure Up. Until next time, this is Stacey Barr, the opinionated performance measure specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.